Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem. We begin about 20 lines down, Mem Omud Aleph. And we're learning today, Le'ili Nishmas, Bita Shenda Fuchs, Shendel Bas Nachman, Miriam Molina, Miriam Pesa Bas Mordechai Yonason, and Gertrude Podherser. All the Shons you learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. Okay, so we begin. Mem Omud Aleph. In yesterday's shir, at the end of the shir, we had a statement, the memor that was made in the name of Rabbi Avohu. So we start off again with another statement in the name of Rabbi Avohu. That's the connection to today's start of the shir. So the Omer Rabbi Avohu, tells us, Merei Shavamina in Visano Ana. Originally, I said I was a very humble person. I would be a paradigm of humbleness. Again, it's very strange. We're going to have this later in the Masechta as well, that there are various great Talmidei Chachamim that said that they were Ana. They were humble. So I would stress now, and we'll learn this when we learn a little bit later in the Masechta, that when a person says that they're a humble person, it's not false humbleness, and it's not false modesty, and it's not bragging. What they're basically saying is emes, the Torah is emes. And therefore, they were stating, this is a midah that I have. And Rabbi Avohu was saying, he personally thought that he was a humble person. And humble doesn't mean that it's totally self-deprecating. What it means really over here is that they were not standing up for their own honor. They were willing to, in some way, let somebody else take over honor that they should have had, and they're defining that as humbleness. But it really would be more appropriate to say, instead of the word humble over here in the Sanusa, it would mean to say that I was a person that wasn't standing on my covet. I wasn't mockbit on my covet. And anyway, let's see what he said. So he said, originally I thought I was a person that didn't stand on their covet. However, kivan dechazina leil Rabbi Abba d'min Akko, when I saw what Rabbi Abba, who came from Akko, did, I realized that is the true definition of a person who doesn't stand on ceremony, who's not mockbit for his covet. That is a better example of that than I am. What did Rabbi Abba d'min Akko do? The Amar, he would give over the shir. The Amar, Ihu Chad Taimo, when he would give over the shir, they would have a meturgimin who would explain the shir to the public. So the Rav would give the shir, and then the meturgimin would be like his loudspeaker. He would say it over in a loud voice for everybody to hear. Now, this meturgimin was supposed to repeat over exactly what the Rav said. However, Rabbi Abba of Akko, his meturgimin, gave his own perushim. The Amar Ihu Chad Taimo, when Rabbi Abba of d'min Akko would give the shir, he would give explanation A, and then the Amar Amore, his meturgimin, Turgamin, the one, as Rashi says, Hamatagim Lurabim, Mashu Lochis Lo Bishasa Drosha, the Rav would sit there and give the shir quietly, and he would basically be whispering in the ears, so to say, of the Maturgamin, the Amora, and this Amora would then say the shir out loud, and he would be like the loudspeaker. So he was supposed to repeat what the Rav had told him, but his Amora, this Rabbi Abba ben Akko's, his Maturgamin, his Amora, would give his own explanations and give his own shir. Yomar Amori Chad Taima. Below carpet, and Rabbi Abba was not machbit. That's the example of he was so humble that it didn't bother him that the Amora, who was essentially dissing him, was essentially saying, I'm going to give a different time than you did. The Amora wasn't supposed to give the shir. The Amora was supposed to say over what the Rabbi said. And here he said his own shir, and yet Rabbi Abba d'min Akko wasn't machbit. And therefore, once Rabbi Avo saw the extent that Rabbi Abba d'min Akko went to not be mocked, but he said, now I realize what real anova is. I mean, alav avisona ana. I'm not as humble as that. I would be mocked if my Amora said over different things than I was telling him. I would have been mocked. Now, what made him originally think that he was a humble person? My Amasanuse, the Rabbi Avo, that made him say, I originally thought I was humble, that I wasn't mocked, and now I see what it really means not to be mocked. So his custom was also not to be machbid on his kavod, but the following story illustrates his level. The Amar lo divisu de amore de Rabbi Avo, le divise de Rabbi Avo. The wife of Rabbi Avo's amora, his meturgamin, said over to Rabbi Avo's wife. In other words, the assistant to Rabbi Avo, the assistant's wife, said over to Rabbi Avo's wife, your husband's not so special. Ha didan lo tzarech leila didach. My husband doesn't really need your husband. In other words, my husband, the assistant's wife, said, my husband, the assistant, he could be giving the shir. He doesn't need Rabbi Avo to give the shir. The only reason he bends over to listen to your husband, Rabbi Avo, and then say over the shir is v'hai degochin, that he bends over, v'zokif alei, and then he stands up and says over what Rabbi Avo tells him, is only, now the girsa that we have is yekara be'alma hu di'ovidle. He just does it out of respect to your husband. Not that he needs him. He could give the shear on his own. And he only does this out of respect to your husband. Now, why should he have such respect to the husband? So Rashi has a different gear. So Rashi says, Yikara d'mahusa. It's because out of respect to the government. Now, why is that? So Rashi tells us, Shari Biavo, Nasu Panim the Vesa Melech. Rabbi Avo was extremely well thought of in the secular government. As the Gemara in Chagiga tells us, Rashi tells us, Nasu Panim Kigon Rabbi Avo Be Kesar. He was very highly regarded by the Caesar. And therefore, out of respect to the Caesar, that's why the assistant would go and say over Rabbi Avo's shear. Not out of respect to Rabbi Avo, out of respect to the Caesar, out of to the government. And elsewhere, Rashi brings down that the women of the house of the Caesar, when they saw Rabbi Avo, they would go and say, oh, here is the leader of the Jewish people. He's the one that speaks for the Jewish people. In other words, Rabbi Avo is very highly thought of by the secular authorities, by the government, by the Caesar. And therefore, alst covered for that, his Amora, Rabbi Avo's Amora, would go and say over the shear in the name of Rabbi Avo. But his wife, the assistant's wife, said to Rabbi Avo's wife, my husband doesn't really need your husband. He knows how to learn just as well as your husband. So therefore, that is the humbleness that Rabbi Avo demonstrated, because his wife then told him what his assistant's wife said. Rabbi Avo's wife went to the Amar Leila Rabbi Avo, and she told her husband, Rabbi Avo, did you hear what he said about you? And Amar La, so Rabbi Avo said back to her, my nafkalimina, what difference does it make? Who gives the shear? I'm giving the shear, he gives the shear. As long as he's teaching Torah, who cares? Me ni umine yiskale silo. Whether it's me saying the shear or him saying over my Torah, or if he would say the Torah on his own, who cares? The bottom line is, the shear is being given, the Torah is being taught. So that was the great humbleness, that he wasn't makbid, that his assistant's wife said that my assistant doesn't really need me. So therefore, he wasn't makbid. That was his anvesinusa, that was his humbleness. However, when he heard about Rabbi Abba de Menako, how far Rabbi Abba de Menako went, that the Meturgamin said his own shear and didn't repeat over what he said, and he still wasn't makbid. He said, oh, I'm not on that level. That is real humbleness. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Visu, Rabbi Avo, Imnu Rabban Ale Limane Bireisha. They actually had selected Rabbi Avo to be the next Rosh Hashiva, to be the head, to be appointed to be the head of the yeshiva. However, he saw Kivan de Chazil, Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko. Now, the Girsa that we have is the Nefishe Lei that he has a lot of, but the Bach changes it around and says, the Tafise Lei Bali Chovos, that many people, he either had a lot of Chovos, or many people were trying to collect money that Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko owed him, owed those people. So therefore, Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko needed more financial support than did Rabbi Avo. So he said, listen, I will go and let him, Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko, be appointed to the head of the yeshiva, because as we're learning in this week's parsha, Parsha's Emor, the Kohen Gadol had to be given money by everybody else. It should be Gadol Me'echob. So one of the ways that you make him greater than everybody else was by giving him financial additional benefits. So therefore, Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko needed the money more than Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo saw that, and he said, let them appoint Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko to be the Rosh Yeshiva rather than me. Amalu, he told the other rabbis, Ikar Rabba, there's a greater person than me to lead the Yeshiva, Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko, when in fact he wasn't greater than Rabbi Avo. However, Rabbi Avo wanted him to get the financial benefits, as Rashi tells us in this situation. Is in Libra Mas Omer Ravo Islan Rabba Chochum Godav Roy Leishiv Rosh Yosef Men. He stated that Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko was more appropriate. He was more worthy of being the Rosh Yeshiva, in order that Kadesh Yeshivu will be Rosh, that he should appoint him to be the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko, and therefore Venosin Lo Mos, they'll give him more money Umashirin also, and they'll make him wealthy Kadesh Yechoshev, because they want everybody to listen to him. People listen to wealthy people, so they would give the Kohen Gadol money. They would give him money, Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko, and if we'd be able to pay off his debts, and therefore that's why Rabbi Avohu was saying, go give the Rosh Yeshiva shaft to go and give it to Rabbi Abba de Ben Akko rather than take it for himself. So that was another example of where Rabbi Avohu was extremely humble. Furthermore, one time it was that Rabbi Avohu, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Iklol Aug Asra, one time Rabbi Avohu and another Rav, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, were both scholars in residence. They went, came to a place, and they each were giving shiurim. So Rabbi Avoh Dorish Biagadata. Rabbi Avoh gave a shiur in Agadata. Agadata tends to be lighter, it tends to be more enjoyable, it tends to be something that people flock to. Whereas Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Dorish Bishmaisa. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba gave a very difficult pilpul on deep halachic idea, and that's less popular. So the people had the choice to go to the Agadata shiur, the nice, easy, light, enjoyable shiur from Rabbi Avoh, or to go to the very difficult, halacha lemaisa, complex shiur of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Guess who the people went to? Shavku kol yamu Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and ba'azu legabe the Rabbi Avoh. So everybody came to the more enjoyable, lighter shiur, rather than the very complex, difficult shiur that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba gave. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba obviously felt bad. Cholish daite. He said, how come nobody comes to my shiur? Everybody went to the other shiur. Everybody went to Rabbi Avoh's shiur. So Amalei, Rabbi Avoh told him, don't feel bad. It's not because I'm a greater Talmud Chacham than you. It's not because I'm a better speaker than you. Em sholuch ha-mashal. I'll give you an example of why people came to my shiur, the lighter shiur, rather than your shiur, the very heavy, complex shiur. Lema David Omer, to what it's comparable to? L'shnei b'nei Adam, echad mocher avonim tovos, v'echad mocher minei sitkis. Compare this to two sellers of items. So one seller is selling very, very precious diamonds. He's selling avonim tovos. And the other one is selling mine sitkis. What is mine sitkis? So Rashi explains, these are clay malachos noshim vaniyim. These are simple things that women or poor people buy, such as little spindles or little forks, little needles. In other words, they're very common devices that everybody needs. And therefore, who do you think is going to get more people in their store? The guy that's selling the very fancy 5-carat diamond, so he's hopeful for one guy to come in and buy it. Whereas the guy that sells needles needs 500 people to come in to help him make a living by selling 500 needles. So obviously, more people are going to flock to the one that sells the less expensive item. So that's what Rabbi Avoh tried to tell Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. I'm selling over here sitkis. So everybody wants to come. It's very easy. It's very plentiful. You're selling the diamonds. Not that many people want to buy the diamonds. They can't afford it. They can't understand it. So Ami Kobtzim, who's coming to jump at whose store? They're all coming to jump, obviously. Lo alzeh, shemoch hamini sitkis. Obviously to the guy who's selling the stuff that everybody needs, but it's very simple and plain stuff. Very few people can afford or understand the expensive stuff. So that's why they don't all go to the diamond store, and that's why nobody came to your shiur. So Rabbi Avoh tried to mollify Rabbi Chiya bar Abba as to why nobody showed up, or relatively few people showed up in this shiur. And in further trying to make Rabbi Chiya bar Abba not be upset, so in general, Rabbi Avoh was the greater Talmud Chacham. Kol yoma havimalvei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba l'Rabbi Avoh arush bizeh. Every day, when they would walk home together from the Beis Medrash, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he would go out of his way to escort Rabbi Avoh, because Rabbi Avoh was the greater Talmud Chacham. Mishum diyakar de bekesar, or, as the Gemara says, because, again, the standing of Rabbi Avoh was very high in the Caesar's palace, and therefore out of cover to Rabbi Avoh, because he was a favorite in the secular government, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba would walk Rabbi Avoh home. But on that day, when Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was upset because nobody came to his shir, so how yomo alvei Rabbi Avoh Rabbi Chiya bar Abba arush bizeh. So that day, instead of allowing Rabbi Chiya bar Abba to walk him to his hotel, instead, Rabbi Avoh escorted Rabbi Chiya bar Abba all the way to his hotel. And nevertheless, even with all of this that Rabbi Abba tried to go and mollify, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba didn't work. He wasn't appeased. He felt very bad that nobody came to his shiur. So one of the reasons why he felt bad is he said, I should have also given it a got at the shiur. I would have been able to transmit more Torah. So he was upset that he didn't have the opportunity to transmit more Torah. Okay, Gemara continues and tells us, we had in yesterday's year, while the Kohanim are blessing Klal Yisrael in the Birchas Kohanim, so we had at the end of this year, what do the people say? What psukim do the people say? So similar to that, when the Chazar Sashatz, when the Chazan gets to Modim, so he is saying the Tvila of Modim, so what does the Tzibur supposed to do at that time? Now, Modim is a thanking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every person should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. You shouldn't rely upon somebody else thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your behalf and you answering Amen. So therefore, when the Chazan is saying Modim, so the Gemara asks, what should the people be saying and doing? So they should themselves be thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Ha'am Mahim Omer, what should the people do when the Chazaras HaShas is up to Modim? So we have what today is known as the Modim Dirabbanon. And why is it called the Modim Dirabbanon? Because all of these rabbis said different tefillos, and we combine them all together, and that's why our Modim that we say as the Tzibur, listening to the Chazaras HaShatz, when the Chazan gets up to Modim, so the Tzibur says the Modim Dirabbanon, the Modim of these rabbis that we're going to mention now in the Gemara, they all had a different girsa. One added on to the next one, and we come up with something similar to our girsa today. It's a little bit different for the Gemara than what we actually say in our davening, but it's analogous to it. So Amar Rav, Rav first is the one who says that we thank Hashem for having the opportunity to thank Hashem. Modim anachnu loch Hashem Elokeinu, al sha'anu modim loch, for the fact that we wish to thank you. That in and of itself is a great thing. As Rashi points out, we're thanking Hashem, al shenasata bilaveinu lios modim lecha, devukim lecha u'modim loch, that we should go and thank you, Hashem, for allowing us, for wanting to go and thank you and to be connected to you. So that's the first thing we have to thank Hashem. That's what Rav says. Shmuel adds on to this. None of them are arguing with each other. They're each adding on to each other. That's the way Rashi understands this. Ushmuel Amar, we also say, Elokei kol basar, you are the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the God of all creatures of kol basar, al shana modim loch. And therefore, that you are the God of everyone, we give you hodah, we give you modim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank you. Rabbi Simai added on further. Rabbi Simai Omer, Yotzreinu, Yotzev Bereishis. You are the creator of all things. You created Bereishis. And for that, Al Sh'anu Modim Loch. And therefore, we have to thank you for creating all of us. The Tamidei Chachamim in Nardai, they added on, Nardai Amrei, Mishmei de Rabbi Simoi, in the name of Rabbi Simoi, and they would add on, Brachos, O the Os, L'Shimcha Gadol. We give you praise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to your great name, Al Shech Yisonu V'Kiyamtonu, that you allowed us to live, and you allowed us to continue to grow, and you Mekayim us, you allow us to continue in life, Al Sh'anu Modim Loch. And therefore, we thank you for that. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Messiah Bahochi, he would conclude with the following statement. He would say, just like you have let us live till now, as Rabbi Simoi had just said, and you support us till now, so you should continue to give us life and continue to give us chayin, allow us all good things, and we should all gather together, and all the kibbutz golios, all the Jews from all across the disparate four corners of the world, we should be able to come, to come into your courtyard, and the Beis HaMikdash, Lishmor Chukecha, to observe all the laws, Lassos Rizonucha, and to do your will, the Levav Shalem, with a complete heart. And for this, Al Sh'anu Modim Loch, and for this we thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us this opportunity. Finally, Amar Rav Papa says, Hilkach, since we have all of these great praises over here, from Rav, from Shmuel, Rabbi Simoi, and they said over in Nardoi, in the name of Rabbi Simoi, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, so all of these great things, we combine them all together, Rav Papa says, Hilkach Nemrinu Lekulu, we say all of them because they're so great praises, and therefore we say a Nusach that combines almost all of these things together. And as I pointed out, our Gisus is not exactly like this, but it's similar to it. And we also end off, Tosus points out over here, that they would end off at the end of the Tovos, Al Shanach L'Modim Loch. So Tosus brings down that it concludes with Baruch Ato Hashem HaKel Hodos. Whereas in our davening, in our Modim Rabbanu, it just says Baruch Kel Hodos. We don't say Baruch Ato Hashem. That's our Gisus. However, Tosus does bring down, you should say Baruch Ato Hashem, I believe the Rashba says as well, and the Vilna Gaon passes that you should say Baruch Ato Hashem, HaKel HaOdos, again, the typical Minag Ashkenaz, and I believe as well, Minag Sfar, is that we just say Baruch Kel HaOdos. Okay, Mark continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak tells us, L'olam Te'emas Tzibor Lecha, a person should always have the Yirah Shamayim of the Tzibor. He should always be in awe of the great Tzibor, Shahare Kohanim, because even the Kohanim, they turned their back, so to say, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were facing the Aron Kodesh, and then they turned around, they faced the Tzibor, out of covet for the Tzibor, Ema for the Tzibor. So, Pneim Klapi Om, they faced the people, even though that means Vachareim Klapi Shchina. Even though their backs are going to be to the Aron Kodesh, their backs will be towards the Shchina. Now, They're all saying it's not really a problem because they're raising their hands and the Shekhinah therefore is in front of them, so therefore it's not a problem. But this is used as a heter, for example, for a Rav when he gives a drasha and he's speaking in front of the Aron Kodesh, so his back is to the Aron Kodesh, but he's speaking to the people. This idea of you should have emas tzibur lecha, you give cover to the tzibur, so this allows you to turn your back, so to say, against HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Rav Nachman Amar Rehocha. Rav Nachman is a different pasuk. Rav Nachman says, now the gersa that we have is Vayokom HaMelech David. But if you look at the Masoras HaShas, and if you look actually in the Psukim, in Divrei HaYamim, the real gersa, and we'll have it later on the Gemara, again we'll quote this pasuk, the real gersa is Vayokom David HaMelech Al Raglov. David HaMelech stood up on his feet, Vayomer, and he told the Klai Yisrael. He said, Shimauni Achai V'Yami. Listen to me, my brothers and my people. And the rest of the pasuk, we just need to know what it's talking about. Im levavi levnos beis minucha liaron bris Hashem v'lahadom raglei elokeinu v'achinosi levnos. In other words, he's telling them, listen to me, let's go build the Beis HaMikdash. Let's go collect the funds to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he calls out to his brothers and his nation. So Gemara asks the question, who are they? Are they his brothers or his nation? Im achai, if they're his brothers, lo ma'ami, what's he calling them, my nation? And V'imami, if they're his nation, Lamachai, why is he calling them his brothers? So the Gemara tells us a very beautiful teretz. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar tells us it depends. If they're listening to him, then they're his brothers. If they don't listen to him, then he's going to force them to listen to them because he's the king. So Amar Lahem, David Yisrael. David HaMelech says to Klai Yisrael, Imatem Shomim Li Achayetem. If you listen to me and you donate money to the Beis HaMikdash, so then you're my brothers. I don't have to force it on you. However, if you blab, but yeah, if you say, no, I don't think we're going to give. So then I'm demanding that you give. Amiyatem, you are my nation. You are my subjects. And I will force you to go and give the money to the tzedakah with a stick. In other words, you give it nicely, then you're my brothers. I don't have to force you to. But if you don't want to give to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, I will force you to as the king. So therefore, that's why he uses this lashon, achai v'ami. Which one you want to be? You want to be my achai or you want to be my ami? Take your pick. Either way, you're going to donate for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that is a second example of where you're supposed to have love and aima for the tzibur. David HaMelech was saying, listen, if you're nice, then you'll be my brothers. We have a third source as to where you have to have the emas tzibur on you. We had the first one from Rav Yitzchak who said because the Kohanim faced the tzibur and turned their back to Hashem. We had the second one from Rav Nachman that said from David HaMelech, he called the people Achai V'Ami. Or we have the Rabbanim who say from this source, the Ein HaKohanim Rashoyim Lalos B'Sandalein L'Duchen. The Kohanim can't go up with sandals on their feet. They can't have to go up barefoot. Why is that? This was one of the takanos. V'zeu achas v'teisha takanos shiskin Rav Yochanan Mezakai. This is one of nine takanos that we have elsewhere. Rav Yochanan Mezakai gave us more in Rosh Hashanah and other places where it tells us what these actual takanos were. The only one that we're interested in over here is this specific takana for right now, where the Kohanim were not allowed to go and duchen with their sandals on. Now, why not? My time, what was his reasoning? Lav bishum kovet tzibor. Isn't because this same idea of kovet tzibor. Now, what does that exactly mean? Does this mean kovet tzibor? So, Rashi tells us, Dira Masach, lav bishum emosah tzibora, mimnesh mistalkin begodov hasuyin limidoso pehagboas yodav. The Kohanim had to wear specially tailored begodim. All the big dekahuna were specifically made for each Kohen. They fitted them exactly. They had to fit exactly. Now, when the Kohen lifts up his hands to go in duchen, he's going to also lift up the smock, the outfit that he's wearing, and it's going to, therefore, now show his feet. It was a long gown type of a garment, and when he lifts up his hands, it's going to lift up, and now people are going to see his feet. V'nirin sandalov, l'tzibor. Now, the hein ein ru'uyin liros b'mnei tit shalem. This is not polite. It's not nice because they're going to be dirty from all the mud. So therefore, in this situation, we see that they shouldn't wear their sandals because the sandals are going to be dirty. When they lift up the hands of Duchen, people will see their dirty sandals, and that's not covered at Tzibur. So, therefore, we want to learn from this idea that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was misaki not to wear the sandals, that the Chachamim, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, are saying we should have to cover that Tzibur. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, this isn't correct. Lo, that's not a good proof. You know why he said they shouldn't wear sandals? Because Hasam Shema Nifsika Lo Ritzua B'Sandlo. You know what's going to happen? He's going to lift up his hands and going to see that his sandal has one of the straps that's ripped. And what's he going to do? He's not going to duchen. Vader ozo lemiktre. He's going to leave the area of the duchenim because everybody's going to be making fun of him. He assumes, look at that guy. He has a torn strap. You know, people love to say your shoelace is untied. They love to say, oh, your shoes are dirty. So therefore, he's going to be embarrassed. So he's going to leave there. But you know what's going to happen? People are then going to say, oh, that Kohen left the duchenim. You know what? He must not be a real Kohen. Yeah, his biological father is that guy, but he's really not a kosher Kohen. Amri ben Gerusha or ben Chalutzu. Yeah, his father, who is a real Kohen, married a Gerusha or married a Chalutzu, and this guy is a Cholol. And that's why it looked like he was going up there to Duchen, but he knows he's not allowed to Duchen, and that's why he left. So therefore, it wasn't for Kavod HaTzibur that the Rav Yochanan Zakkai said, don't wear sandals. It was because of this idea that you're going to see your sandals are torn and it's going to embarrass you and you're going to leave the duchen without duchening and people are going to assume that you're not a real Kohen. They'll say you're a cholol. So from Rav Ashi says, from this takana, Rav Yochanan Zakkai, you can't bring proof to the idea that li'olam te'emas sibur alecha. From the first two reasons, yes, but not from the third reason. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, of a mikdash bracha achas uchulei. In the base of mikdash, we said the Kohanim only made the three psukim into one bracha and they didn't make it to three separate brachos. We turn to Mem Omid Beis. They call Kach Lama. Why did we make so many differences between the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, Lefi She'ein Onim Amim B'Mikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't answer Amen. So therefore, there was no reason to divide it up into three separate brachos. So Gemara says, I'll show you that that's correct from the following brachos. Tana Rabbanan. Minayin She'ein Onim Amim B'Mikdash. Where do we see that you don't answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash? And therefore, as Rashi says, V'ein Kan B'Meh L'Havsik. So there's no reason to interrupt. You just go. Yerech Hashem Yishem Recho. Yerech Hashem Ponim Lecho. Yerech Hashem Ponim Lecho. Same Chashom. There's no Amen in between in the Beis HaMikdash. We have us at the end of each of these psukim, we say amen in our duchening, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. We should all see it in the Beis HaMikdash. So there was no reason to say amen. And we see that they didn't answer amen in the Beis HaMikdash from this brisa. Tana Rabbanan, minayin she'ein onim amen b'mikdash shenamar, because the pasuk says, kumu baruch es Hashem Elokeichem min ha'olam v'ad olam. This is the pasuk from Nehemiah, and it tells the Jewish people that they have to go and bless the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As Rashi says, this is the Sefer Ezra, which I pointed out already previously. Our Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah was one book of the 24 books. The publishers today broke it up into Ezra and Nehemiah, and this is found in what we call Nehemiah. But it's called by Rashi over Sefer Ezra. And it says, Shekol bracha shumuvarchim b'mikdash, whenever they would make a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't the standard Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, but they would say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min HaOlam V'Ad HaOlam, and then they would say the bracha Magen Abraham. The same thing became Mechayeh HaMeisim. So each bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, they would say it in that format, not Baruch Atah Hashem, but they would say this lashon of Baruch Hashem Elokeichem, which would mean Baruch Hashem Elokeichem Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. And therefore, you don't answer amen to that. Instead, the Gemara elsewhere tells us they would answer Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso li'olam v'ed. In any event, so you see from here that they didn't answer amen. The Beis HaMikdash, so there was no reason to separate the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim because there's no amen that's being said. Now the Gemara says, when we na'in shall call bracha or bracha tehila, how do we know that you have to answer after every bracha something? Such as in the Beis HaMikdash, you say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso li'olam v'ed. How do we know? They didn't say that at just the conclusion of all the brachos. So you say, Shemoneh Esrei, just say it at the end. How do you have to say it after every bracha? U'minayin shall kol bracha or bracha tehila. You have to say this, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso li'olam v'ed, after each bracha. So the Gemara says, Shenamar, because the pasuk tells us, V'yivarchu Shem Kvodecha, Amuramam al kol bracha u'sehila. They should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu after every bracha. Al kol bracha u'tehila, al kol bracha u'bracha tein lo tehila. That means that after each bracha, you have to go and say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso li'olam v'ed. That's what they were saying in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, they didn't say amen, and therefore, that's why the Kohanim could lump all three of the psukim together without having an interruption like we do in Chutz La'aretz, outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Birchas Kohen Gadol Ketzad. We had learned previously that the bracha that the Kohen Gadol had to say had to be also in Lashon Kodesh. So now we're going to discuss what exactly is that bracha. So, Birchas Kohen Gadol Ketzad. What exactly is the bracha that the Kohen Gadol would say? So, the Chazan HaKnesses, the sextant, the one who was in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, Notel Sefer Torah, he would take the Sefer Torah. They had one special Sefer Torah there that was Ezra's Sefer Torah, and they would go and take that, and the nos the lola rosha knesses, they would give that to the head of the knesses. He would be like the nasi, and he would give it the rosha knesses nos l'skan. He would give it to the skan kohen gadol. The skan kohen gadol nos l'kohen gadol. Would give it to the kohen gadol. So they had this whole procession over here to give cover to the sefer Torah and to give cover to the kohen gadol. And then the Kohen Gadol would take it. The Kohen Gadol omei nu mekabel. The Kohen Gadol would take the Sefer Torah and he would read from it on Yom Kippur. V'karei Achrei Mos. He would read from last week's parsha, Parsha's Achrei Mos, and he would also read from next week's parsha, the Ach Be'osor. He would read about both of them Yom Kippur, in Achrei Mos and in Emor. V'golel esa Torah, and afterwards he would roll up the Torah u'minich b'cheiko and hold it in his bosom. And he would say, no, there's other leanings that I'm going to do, but not from the Sefer Torah, because of Kavanat Tzibur, Tircha de Tzibur, as we'll see in the Gemara. And he would say, there's much more here than I read. V'omer, Yosser, Mimashiko Rossi, Lefnechem, Kosev Khan. More than what I've read to you here is in the Sefer Torah. Don't think, for example, that this is a Sefer Torah that is pogum, that it's missing certain things. They're all here. But because it would be too much of a Tircha de Tzibur to go roll the Sefer Torah from the middle of Ayikra all the way to the end of Bamidbar, so therefore I'm going to say that by heart. And he would say, Ube Esor, which is the psukim from Perichot Tes in Bamidbar, which also deals with Yom Kippur, the Musaf that you would bring on Yom Kippur at the end of Parshas Pinchas. So Ube Esor Bechodesh, Shebechomesh HaPekudim, in the Chumash known as Pekudim, which is Bamidbar, Kori Al Peh. He would go read that by heart because it would take too long to Mish to get to that point. Why didn't they take out a second Sefer Torah? The Gemara will answer. However, for now, he would say, I'm going to read this by heart. Then, after he finished that reading, he would say eight brachos. The first one is ala Torah, which is the bracha that we normally make after we finish reading the Torah. No say not Torah. So that's the first bracha, ala Torah. The next one is ala avoda. He had to make a bracha. He just finished doing the avoda, so he would say ritzei. He would say that bracha. That's number two. Malodoya, he would say modim. That's number three. Hatol shuchal, chayne leodos. Then he would have a separate bracha for Yom Kippur, number four, v'yamachila so'ovot, that we ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu that you should go and be mochel, the soleach, lavonos, amo beis Yisrael, like we do on Yom Kippur. So that's the fourth bracha. Then he would have a special bracha al hamikdosh. It's a special bracha that they would make for the Beis HaMikdash. We're unfortunately not familiar with this bracha, which ends, Asher Bachar BaMikdash. So that's number five. They don't make a special bracha for Al Yisrael. The bracha for Yisrael is the bracha that we're familiar with as well, HaBocher BeYamo Yisrael, that he's the one that chose Klal Yisrael. Then we have number seven, V'Ala Kohanim. There's a special bracha for the Kohanim. We're not familiar with this bracha. This was a bracha that would end off B'Kadesh HaKohanim. And then number eight is a special bracha of Ayushalayim, which concludes in the following way, that HaBocher B'Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen Yerushalayim. Now, Rashi brings down in the Ramas of Yisrael of Masech Sota Yerushalmis in Sota in the Yerushalmi before Rishla. He explains what all these brachas are exactly dealing with. Ayin Shom. Now, then we have a conclusion to our Mishnah, seemingly a ninth bracha, Vashar Tfila, or as Rashi has the girsa, the Al Shar HaTfila. So there's two ways to be gorious over here. One is that this is a ninth bracha, and therefore you have to delete one of the other brachas that we have, or that the rest is not a separate bracha, it's just the regular brachos of Tfila, and it's not a separate bracha. So either this is the bracha of Shomea Tfila, and you have to delete one of the others, or it just means Vashar Tfila, then they continue davening without necessarily a specific bracha. Okay, that's our Mishnah. The Gemara begins. Shamas Minot. You see from our Mishnah, the Chokim Kavod, the Talmud, B'Mokum Arab. From the fact that they give honor to the sexton, to the Shamish of the Beis HaKnesses, then to the president of the Beis HaKnesses, and then to the Skan Kohen Gadol. So we're allowing each of them to get covered. And we're doing this even though the Kohen Gadol is over there. So let us learn from our Mishnah, Shamas Minot, Chokim Kavod, the Talmud. You give cover to the lower person, even in the presence of the greater person. From the fact that we gave cover to all these people, the Shamish, the Nasi, and the Vice Kohen Gadol, in the presence of the Kohen Gadol, we give them a chance to hold the Torah. So Abai says it's not a raya. Amar Abaya, no. And we'll have this later on in the Gemara tomorrow as well. Kula mishum kvodo de Kohen Gadol. This is all just to give cover to the Kohen Gadol. He has a big entourage. So the people in the entourage aren't given cover. It's the fact that there's an entourage for the Kohen Gadol. That's the cover. Then we quote the Mishnah of a Kohen Gadol, Omeid Umakabel V'Kari V'Chulei. The Kohen Gadol is standing over there when he reads from the Torah. That implies that now he is standing. Omeid now. Until now, Miklal the Yoshifu. Until now, he was sitting down. But this is, of course, very problematic because we know that the halach is that only Malchus Beis David, only people that are from Malchus Beis David, are allowed to sit down in the Azorah. So, implying over here that until now the Kohen was sitting there, how can that be? The Amar Ein Yeshiva Bi Azorah Elo LeMalchei Beis David Bavad. The only people that are allowed to sit in the Azorah are people that are descendants of the Malchus Beis David, the kings. So, therefore, we know that this was the whole reason why Yeravim the Nevat didn't want to go and come back to the Beis HaMikdash, because he said, when I'm going to go there and Rehoboam is going to be there, only he's going to be allowed to sit. But I, as the king of the northern kingdom, will not be allowed to sit because I'm not Malchus Beis David. So people are going to say, who's the real king? The one who's sitting or the one who's standing? So that's why Yeravim the Nevat, who originally was the big tzaddik and was the head of the Sanhedrin, said, no, thank you. We'll set up our own Beis HaMikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Shomron and in Don. Ultimately, unfortunately, both of them turned to be Avodah Zarah. And Yeravim Nevat was a Chote Yomachti. But the reason why he originally went off the Derech over here was because he said, I can't sit down in the Azara because I'm not from Malchus Beis David. So how could the Kohen sit down? It implies that he was sitting, and now he stands up. He's not from Malchus Beis David, as the Apostle says, Shenemar, Vayavo HaMelech David, Vayeshel Nei Hashem, Vayomer Mi'enochi V'gomer. Says that David came, and he sat down, and he said, who am I that I should be sitting down over here? So, in other words, how could the Kohen Gadol be sitting down? So, Bar gives the Teretz, Kedam Rav Chista. Rav Chista said that he was not sitting in the Azara, he was sitting in the Ezra's Noshim. He was actually sitting in the women's section, and there's no issa for somebody to sit. And just like Rav Chista gave that Teretz in regards to something else, which we'll see in a short while, so too, Hochanami the Ezra's Noshim. So, the same answer is given over here, that the Kohen Gadol was sitting in the Ezra's Noshim. Now, where do we see that Rav Chista originally made this statement? Meisvei, or some have the Girsa over here, the Tanya, because this is a proof. It's not really a question. So this really should be the Tanya. Okay, in any event, where do we see this? Vechen Korimbo, where in the Azara do they actually go and read the Sefer Torah? So the first opinion is the Azara. That is, it was read in the Azara. Rabbi Lezman and Yaakov Omer, Bahar Bayis. No, it can be read anywhere on the Har Bayis. It didn't have to be read in the Azara. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, and we turn to Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Vayikra Bo Lifnei HaRechov Asher Lifnei Shar HaMayim. It was read in the place before the Shar HaMayim. And this was just on the Har Bayis. It didn't have to be read in the Azara. But along comes Rav Chista, and here's where Rav Chista said it. So Rav Chista, no, the Ezra's Noshim. The Kohen Gadol was reading it in the Ezra's Noshim. Oh, Lishitaso. Therefore, he was allowed to sit down over there because a Kohen Gadol, or any other people, can sit in the Ezra's Noshim. They're only not allowed to sit in the Azara. There, only in the Azara, can Malchus Beis David sit. So that concludes this idea, and with this we'll conclude today's shiur.